Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is a beautiful professional with lived experience of ADHD. She's the founder of My Special Child and the Peak Centre.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, I don't know if the sun will be shining when this episode comes out.
A glorious day in Melbourne. Oh,
and we need it because our lockdown's been extended.
Oh.
But it's sunny.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was telling Mandy I saw this, like, TikTok, and this girl said, Melbourne has 2 days of sunshine, and that's the most important thing that's happened to us in a year.
I feel like it's Christmas Day.
I know.
Just bounced out of the house.
I know.
Put the sun on your skin.
Oh, so good. We're definitely grateful for the little things.
We are. That has totally changed me in the last couple of years.
Oh, just the beautiful day.
The mindfulness and the gratefulness is real now.
It really is. It really is.
Anyway, we've got a great guest today.
I'm excited.
We're going to love this talk today.
Very, very excited.
So, yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself to the peas?
I'm Rebecca Perkins. So, as you said a minute ago, founder of My Special Child and National Peak Centre. But more importantly, I am an ADHD adult and have a couple of ADHD kids. So my life is pretty involved in the neurodivergent community.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome,
brilliant.
Awesome. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yes.
As a non-ADHD person living with a lot of people that have ADHD, it's interesting and it's really, really great to hear adults talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's often left to people who don't have it to talk about the people who do have it. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Right, let's start with our questions.
Yes. Okay, so the first question is, do you have music or a band that like peps you up during good times or like when you're feeling a bit low, you need to listen to them?
So I listen to very upbeat music. So I tend to listen to sort of dance music and that sort of thing. And I'm very ADHD in that way. I'm like hyper, yeah. So I listen to hyperactive music.
Yeah.
But I also, because me and my kids are ADHD, sometimes we need to calm down. Mm. So there's a song called Porcelain by Moby. And I find that is the best song to just bring us all down. It's really, really good for chilling out and very good for starting the day on a calm but focused path.
Okay. I think we might start that with our crisis schooling.
Yeah.
we have a Spotify for all the songs that all our guests say, so that one will be on there.
Yep.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Can you tell us, did you win any awards at school?
So when I was at school, no, because I was, like many ADHD kids, I found school very difficult. Mm. And I spent, if there was an award going for who got kicked out of class the most, I would have won that.
Oh, my gosh.
I spent a lot of time suspended, yes, and sitting outside principal's offices, yes, and all that stuff. I did win a lot of awards outside school for my extracurricular activities.
Okay.
Because I was actually very sporty and very good at a lot of those sort of activities. But school, no, I did terrible at school. Mm, yeah. I actually got all my qualifications as an adult because when I was at school, I just failed everything. So, no, I don't think I ever won an award at school.
Oh, good company. You're in very good company here.
I too am a fellow get kicked out of the classroom person. I spent a lot of time making people laugh through the window in the door from outside. And, yeah, I spent a lot of time out in the cold corridors.
Oh, yeah. I think I would have
me too.
Been devastated if I got kicked out.
Oh, no, I was like, oh, I'll do it again.
Which just goes to show how effective it is.
I know, exactly. It never mattered. Yeah. No. Anyway, right.
Okay. Now, the last question, which you've sort of answered, but why are you a P?
So I am very immersed in the P world.
Yes.
So both my kids are ADHD. My eldest is also intellectually disabled. Mm. I myself have ADHD and dyslexia, and my fiance even has ADHD. I live in a full ADHD household. Right. Even my mom has ADHD.
Yes.
So in my life, everything is all about being neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And I don't really, I don't think I could fit into a non-neurodivergent community now. I'm so immersed in it from work and life and everything.
Of course.
Which is super interesting. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask, which is probably going out to people that don't live with neurodivergence, is how genetic is ADHD? Do you think?
Very. So it's about 80% genetic. So majority of the time it's running in the family. That it's not always. You know, there is that 20% of the time when it's not, and there are other things that can cause ADHD. But majority of the time it does run in families. So in my family, my kids have it, I have it, my mom has it, and we always look back and think my nan probably had it, because although back then obviously things like that weren't diagnosed, but we used to say she had a grasshopper mind, and it's only now we look back and think, so it's a very clean line through my family. So yeah, it runs through my family very much, and so we're the kind of embodiment of how genetics can play a part in an ADHD family.
Mm. Can we go back to when you had your first child, and when did you start to get some diagnosis?
So my first child wasn't diagnosed till he was 8, which interestingly you could see that, you know, it was clearly there a long time. Well, it was there from birth, but you could see it a long time before that. But this was back in England, and England, the diagnosis process, the understanding of ADHD, it's pretty bad there. It is here as well, so it's not any better over here. Mm. And so I remember taking him over and over again to a paediatrician for years to try and get him diagnosed. And really the only person who diagnosed him in the end was me, because she just kept looking at me and going, I really don't know. And I said to her, I said, look, I've done, you know, I know the stuff, I've done the research. It's very clear to me that he has ADHD. And she went, oh, well, let's go with that then. And I always sort of think, so really, she didn't even diagnose him. I did, technically. And then when we moved to Australia, he had to be re-diagnosed again in Australia. And even then, the pediatrician who saw him in Australia, although she was a bit more confident in the diagnosis, her knowledge after that point was still really poor, and she certainly didn't get it. And I remember her saying to me, so are you going to medicate him? And I said, not right now. You know, I'm not pro or against medication. It's to the person if they need it. And I said, not right now. Right now I'm trying some other stuff, and if we need it, we'll come back to it. And she went, oh, no, 100, all people with ADHD have to be medicated. I just went, no, they don't. And I never saw her again. And he's still not medicated, actually. My younger one is medicated because he needed it. But the older one has never, to this point, never needed it. But that's still not to say that I won't change my mind in 6 months. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's really important too, because there's a lot of stigma both ways, like whether you medicate or whether you don't. It's like you can't win as a person with ADHD and as a parent. You're like, well, some people are so pushy one way and so pushy the other.
Yeah, and the fact is every ADHD person is different, and some will need it. Like, you know, so in my family, there's four of us with ADHD living in the house. Two of us are medicated, two of us aren't. So I'm not, and my eldest son isn't, but my fiance is, and my youngest son is. And that's because for those two, it's essential, life-changing. They literally could not get through without it. For me, I actually, I did get medicated, and then it didn't have a massive effect for me, so I didn't need it. And my eldest son, I sort of chop and change with the idea regularly as to whether I'm going to. And actually, for probably the past couple of years, the only reason I haven't medicated him is because he's a very thin child, and I'm so scared of it making him lose more weight. So I'm trying to sort of put some weight on him first. But it's got to be each to their own. There's so many people with strong views. But a lot of the time I find a lot of people who believe parents shouldn't medicate, it's just a lack of understanding, and they don't understand the ins and outs of ADHD medication and how legitimate it is. And ultimately, if a child had epilepsy, you wouldn't hesitate to medicate them. And so if they have ADHD and they need medicating, they should be medicated. You know, it has to be whether they need it.
I don't know if you're aware, but I have identical twin boys who have ADHD. And for us, medication is just a daily part of their life. Like, it's not even something that they think about anymore. Like, they've been doing it since they were about seven, which is quite young. But it's just a game changer for us. Like, it just enables them really the thing is, it enables you to try and fit into a world that doesn't really want you to fit in with them. And it means that they can go to school.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so my younger son, he's very classic ADHD, bouncing off the walls, very hyper. And for him, his medication, without it, he would not be able to do school, full stop. He would not be able to succeed in any way at school without that medication. It's the only thing that allows him to, and he's still bouncing off the walls, but it allows him to focus just enough to get by. And we've seen a huge difference. Now, for my fiance, life changing wouldn't even come close to how much of an impact it's had for him. His everything about him, he struggled across the board until he was medicated. And the difference it's made for him has just been just mind-blowing, you know, and the thought of ever taking that away from him. But he, as an adult, up until, you know, even recently, still has friends and people he knows question why he's medicated. And he had a friend not long ago say that he thought that it was rubbish that he was medicated and he didn't need it. And that's really sad, because, you know, it's that level of stigma is so uneducated and so sort of such an ignorant view.
And it doesn't really seem in my world to be getting much better. What do you think?
Nah, I think it is, but very slowly. Yeah. I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be. You know, I think it's sort of, I find for what I do, where we sort of, my entire career is built on trying to educate people and trying to create this awareness. And we create it, and I see every time I go to an event, I might see 500 people who know a bit more than they did before, who have a bit better understanding. But it's that plugging away and trying, you know, few people at a time, just trying to build on that knowledge. And there's still so many people who just don't have a clue, and they really don't get it. And they, you know, someone said to me yesterday that their child had been diagnosed with ADHD, but the father of the child, their husband, wouldn't have it. They said ADHD isn't real, and they wouldn't even read the stuff from the hospital. They wouldn't take any notice. And it's that level of just misunderstanding and lack of awareness that's so damaging. And it's so harmful to these kids as they're growing up. Yes. I just think, you know, what you guys do with your podcast, similar to what I try and do with our events, is trying to just get that information out there and try to remove that stigma and make it so that it's okay. Someone very, very close to me said the other day about, they said, oh, somebody, so-and-so suffers with ADHD. Uh-huh. I said, no, they don't suffer with it. No. They have ADHD. Mm. They don't suffer with ADHD.
No.
They have it.
Yes.
And that, just turning that way of thinking to see that it's just a difference. It's not, someone's not less because they have ADHD. They're just different.
Yeah.
That's right.
And to be different is okay.
Oh, well, and really, the older you get and the more you meet people, we're all different. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
that's
right. We
really are. And something that you may think this is the way it should be and I've always done it like this, whether it's cleaning your teeth or putting the bins out, and you'll meet someone and go, oh, they just hang their rubbish in the corner of the room. You know what I mean? It's just different. It's not right or wrong.
That's right.
And
who wants to be the same? Oh. Who wants to be the same as everyone else anyway? You know?
Well, teenagers, that's all.
Yeah, that's true. Tell us about how you started the business. What made you start it? How did you what was the gap that you thought, I'm going to fill that?
So when I moved to Australia, I decided to start my special child because as a parent of a child with a diverse range of needs, I realized that there was so little support for parents. Mm. And one of the ways where that was really affecting people was just the lack of information, no information out there, and reliable information as well. And even if you could find it, it was all, this is 7 years ago, and it was all in bits. Mm. Like you'd get a little bit over here and a little bit over there. And it was so hard to just get good, accurate, easy to find, easy to read information. And so I got so fed up with it that I just decided to start it myself. And so that's when my special child came about from that. And it was just a blog to start off with. And it grew a lot bigger and a lot faster than I expected to. And then I thought, well, how can I get more information to people? And then I started creating events, and they've just grown and grown and grown. And now, like, we're running an event in WA in November that's for 2,000 people.
Wow. Brilliant.
And they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that now we make resources and books and all the things to just, and it's all about just trying to create more and more awareness and give people simple, easy to access information and strategies and just get that information into people's hands, really. And then Peak Centre was the brainchild of myself and Christina Keeble back in, we thought of it last year, and we just said, the system for disability services is so broken and so confusing. Mm. We need to create something that is a therapy clinic, but where everybody, all the different therapists of all the different practices all work together on the same team, on the same page, all come from a strengths-based approach.
Yes.
That was the underpinning thing, because you can get, there are multidisciplinary clinics about, but they're also deficit-based.
Yes.
It's also, you walk in and you walk out feeling worse than you came in. And we wanted to create something that was strengths-based and positive. And when a child or adult, whoever it is, walks out of our center, they walk out feeling better than they did when they came in. And that's the goal.
Oh, Rebecca, awesome.
And
yeah.
So that was, and that's, we're opening the second center for that next year, and then hopefully we'll have lots of those so that everybody can have positive, a positive clinical experience.
Oh, congratulations.
And is that based in Melbourne or?
Yeah, so the first one's in Cranbourne.
Yep.
And it's been so successful. Unfortunately, we have waiting lists, which is why we want to try and get as many of these open as possible. But even down to there's always someone on site to help. So if somebody doesn't know where to go, what to do next, there's somebody there who can just sit with them and say, this is what you do and this is where you go. And we, you know, we have some incredible clients over there who have just the most amazing stories, and all they need is just someone to sort of hold their hand and just guide them through and just help them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have people who other places just won't touch them because they go, oh, no, too much, too hard basket.
Yeah.
They don't want them. Mm. And they come to us and we just say, no, there is no such thing as too hard for us. No.
Everybody, oh, Rebecca.
So it's trying to change the system a little bit. And
oh, well, it needs changing.
We'll see how we go in the future.
Who is in your team there? What are the professionals, we would call them?
Yeah, so at the moment, so Christina and I started it, and Christina at the moment is working there on site every day. She works in a sort of support specialist type of role. So she sees people who just need their hands holding. We've got an OT, speech therapist, music therapist, art therapist,
beautiful,
dance therapist. But we're expanding that as well. So we've got a new OT starting in September who will take. So we'll have the two OTs, and we're about to expand into the offices next door, so we can make it, so we can take on more therapists. We will be getting a psychologist and a paediatrician eventually, because the idea is we just want everything to be in the one place, so people don't have that.
Mandy and I have this fantasy as well, and we have no training; we can't do it.
No,
but this is exactly what we want: that you just go there, and they're all there.
My daughters have a diagnosis of cerebral palsy, so in the first sort of 5 years of their life, all I was doing was driving to hospitals to therapy hospitals all around Melbourne. I went to every hospital in Melbourne. So the thought of being able to go to one place is brilliant, and it's family centered.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is Christina and I are both neurodivergent ourselves, and we get it.
Yeah.
And so we will not have anybody ever who works for us be of the opinion that it's all, you know, it's all deficit.
Oh, no.
That whole sort of medical model, deficit based. We're just so against that. And you hear of centres offering practices like ABA, really deficit-based practices. And we're just, you know, we're just the exact extreme opposite of that.
Awesome.
Where, you know, children, every child who comes to us, we're going to help them with their challenges, but we're also going to promote their strengths.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell them that they're amazing and they're wonderful. And our only job is just to help them with the things they struggle with. And everybody struggles with something.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah, so that's, I guess, what we're trying to do.
That sounds tremendous.
I know from as a parent of my boys that so much messaging they get is negative. Mm. Like, you know, why didn't you sit still? Why haven't you got your maths book out? Why didn't you? You didn't. So to go somewhere that's like, oh, wow, you did, I think the messaging that we're giving these children and then expecting them to not have any issues is mind-blowing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have these kids who are remarkable, amazing kids. And do you know what? You look at majority of the successful, really, really successful entrepreneurs and celebrities and sportsmen and women, loads of them have ADHD.
Mm.
Huge proportions of them have ADHD. But they've got there with support and promotion and, you know, and these support networks around them who've told them that they're great and they can achieve the things they want to achieve. And we have so many kids in our society that's all they need. They just need people to tell them that they're great and they can achieve whatever they want to achieve and they can be brilliant and they can be amazing. And just because they have a few challenges does not mean that they can't achieve their dreams. Everybody's got challenges. It might be physical, it might be neurological, it might be mental health challenges, it might be,
it can be poverty,
you know, I'm dyslexic.
It could be all sorts of things.
It could be anything. Everyone's got something that they need help with in their life by someone.
Mm.
And they shouldn't. We shouldn't have this sort of classification where we go, oh, but the thing you need with help with is this, so therefore you're a lesser human.
Yeah.
No, everyone's great. Everyone's wonderful.
Yeah.
They just need support.
Do you do any advocacy with schools?
Yes. So.
I thought the answer would be yes. But
we get so schools. I meet at the events a lot of educators and teachers who are absolutely amazing, and they're so dedicated yes. to helping their children.
We have them.
And they're great. At the same time, we have a lot of families who come to our clinic and I get a lot of messages through my special child of parents who aren't dealing with those teachers and they're dealing with schools where they're some of the things. And I'm a bit headstrong, so if I have to deal with a principal and put them in their place a little bit and say, no, you're not doing this anymore, then I have no issue doing that.
Oh, good.
And so we've had a few where we've really had to sort of intervene with schools and go in and say, you know, no, you're not doing this anymore, because if you carry on, then we're going to report you or whatever. But it's one of the harder things I think schools, because there's so many schools that just aren't getting it and aren't doing it the right way. And that's very tricky. Actually, Christina and I, our next goal is to set up schools. So after we've done the centre, schools is next on our list.
Oh, amazing!
We want to change those as well.
Oh my gosh!
Not right. Oh, Rebecca,
this is just fills me with joy, because I mean, it's everything that I've ever wanted. Like, I mean, I think every parent of neurodivergent kids has done that many school tours and chatted to that many fucking educators, and they, you know. I went to a school in Melbourne that I really loved for my boys, and they were so lovely and they were awesome and they said all the right things, and then I sent all their reports in and they just replied, we don't have a spot. I'm like, I know you have a spot, because I was there and you said you had the spot. And so you're like, oh, people can give the lip service, but they don't actually know how to do it. Prejudice and discrimination is rife.
Oh, absolutely. And it's all flows down from the school leadership team a lot of the time. And something that I find that actually really, really depresses me is we do these events and we always see who's coming through as a teacher and who's coming through as a parent.
Yep.
And we get huge amounts of teachers. About 40% of the people who turn up at our events will be teachers.
Yep.
So large proportion of teachers, but we never get school leadership teams.
Really? Wow. No principals,
so
no
principals, no vice principals, never. It's like we get lots of teachers' aides, loads of them.
Yes. Yes.
We get obviously loads of parents. We'll get OTs and psychs and speeches.
Yep.
But the people we don't get is we don't get GPs, which I think is a shame.
Yes.
GPs should know. And we don't get, never, ever get a school leadership team.
I wonder
and
why.
And that is so sad. I think it's because they, and I'm sorry to any school leadership team who disagree with this, but I think it's because in a lot of the cases they think they already know it all and don't need to know any better.
Or do you think
it's too confronting?
Or do you think they also are like, well, if I find out that I should change, then I really will have to change, so I'd rather just not know?
Possibly, yeah, I've had that. So Christina has said to me that in the past. She said, I think they just don't want to have to do the work that they would have to do if they learn that they've got to do it differently.
I mean, there are definitely those old school principals that know everything.
Yeah, I have met, so I do, sometimes I'll go out and do PDs at schools.
Yep.
And when I've done that, I've actually met some incredible principals on the way, especially in regional Victoria.
Yes.
So far out in regional Victoria, in these tiny little schools in the middle of nowhere, I've met some amazing principals.
Yep.
And I remember in 2019, I went to a school somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and I can't, it's somewhere north, really far north in the middle of nowhere. And the principal there was just amazing. And I remember standing in that PD and saying, you need to change your entire lighting system in this school, because it was all really bright fluorescent lights in a very, with hardly any windows.
Yep.
So it made it so stressful. And I remember saying, I gave her tons of demands of things that she should do.
Yep.
And whereas most principals would go, well, I can't do that and I can't do that. She just went, consider it done.
Wow.
And she would just do. She literally, anything that I suggested, she was like, no, we'll do it. We'll do it. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, we'll do it. And she was amazing.
I've got goosebumps.
I can't remember the name of the school. But unfortunately, that's not the case all the time. It should be, but it's not.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I am Brandon Conkey. I'm a political science major, and I chose Columbus State. To reach my goal of going to law school, I need to avoid student debt. So Columbus State was the logical choice. My professors have great credentials. The Honors Program gives me access to opportunities that develop me as a person, and they help me qualify for more scholarships when I transfer to a four-year university. I chose Columbus State. Now I'm avoiding student debt and following my passion to become a Buckeye and build a career in public service.
So if you, well, I want to know two things. I want to know what your ideal school would be. But if you are listening as a parent or an educator, what do you think the best scaffolding is for educators and parents to know about educating kids with ADHD?
So the first thing is, and this is the most important thing, if you're an educator and you want to know about ADHD, you've got to learn about ADHD. Mm. So whether that is coming to me, and I'm always available to answer emails, ask me the questions, I will answer them. It's not going to cost you anything.
Wow.
If you do want to spend the money, go find the books, find the things,
yes.
But get the up-to-date current information, because that belief of that ADHD is just a kid who's hyper and can't pay attention is wrong.
Yep.
And there is so much more to it. And until you know the information, you cannot support that child to be as successful as they deserve to be. And it's just learn. Like, you know, we've got a guide for teachers that takes 10 minutes to read, but gives them everything they need, really desperately need to know. It gives them that scaffold, that base.
Yeah.
But learn it, read it. I've given that to teachers for free and gone, here you go, just read it. You need to read this.
Yes.
And they don't read it. I'm like, 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute guide. It's all the information crammed into what, so they can just get it straight away. And so learn the information, find out the stuff, and then you can support kids. But I think if I was to give one piece of knowledge that I could give to all teachers, it's that ADHD is not the simple, easy, linear disorder you think it is.
Yeah.
It's a spectrum. It has a lot of different characteristics, and you have to understand, if you don't learn anything else, just learn that and learn what the characteristics are so you know how to help the kids, because you can't help a kid if you don't understand what it is they're struggling with.
So true. So true. And it's just, I mean, for me, you know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, you know, like A Current Affair, which is an abomination as far as I'm concerned, sorry, Channel 9, had all those shows with kids with ADHD punching holes in walls, and that's what I grew up thinking ADHD was, right? I had no point of reference that it was anything other than that. And there are a lot of adults my age who still think that's what it is, and they are educators or doctors or, you know, because we just, you don't learn about anything like that. And Mandy and I often say, like, when you go to the infant welfare nurse with your tiny baby or whatever, they never, well, now our kids, our babies are 16 and Mandy's got a 12-year-old.
10.
Yeah. But they don't say, this is, you know, typically developing children do this. Children who may have cerebral palsy do this. Children who may have autism may do this. And just roll it all out like it's one sentence, like it's one thing, because we're just all so different. And I knew from when my boys were really little, because they were my fourth and fifth children, there's something really different going on here with them. Like, yeah. I thought they were just so incredible and awesome and I was in awe of them. But I knew straight away, and I'm just lucky that I was older. We were already seeing a pediatrician for other things, so, you know, it was easy for me. But, I just think that there's no information given to professionals or parents.
None. And it's surprising that a teacher, you know, so the rates of ADHD in this country is 1 in 20,
yep.
Which is far behind the rest of the world.
Yep.
So it's still it's blatantly more than that. But
yep.
Our rates are 1 in 20 diagnosed with ADHD, which means every class in Australia will probably have at least one child with ADHD in the class.
Yep.
So how is it that teachers are not trained in ADHD
when
they will have at least one kid in their class every year who has ADHD? And being trained in ADHD is so important. There's I never speak to a teacher who doesn't say to me, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about basic ADHD information, not really, you know, nothing really tricky, just the basics, like simple, the top 10 strategies to deal with distractibility. Why do teachers not know that when it's a key element to helping a child with ADHD in their education? But they don't, you know. And that's not necessarily the teacher's fault. It's more the system's fault for not
the university's fault. Mandy and I have mentioned this on the podcast before, and we have no professional qualifications.
Zero, minus.
Yeah. So,
I teach sleep. That's it.
No, we've got – we both have diplomas and we finished high school. But, yeah, we don't have when it comes to ADHD or anything.
No,
we're just
nothing.
Parents.
Yeah.
But we have all these universities messaging us saying, oh, you're on the recommended list that the teaching students and the nursing students and the OT students, they need to listen to your podcast. And that makes us so happy. But it also gives me a tiny amount of despair because I'm like, surely there are better people.
They're using us. That's as good as they've got. Us too.
There are people.
What a worry.
Amazing people with lived experience or really great qualifications doing really great things. Why aren't they teaching whole semesters on this?
Yeah, and that's the fact, is they should be teaching. There should be every teachers, OTs, speeches, psychs, all of these really critical occupations.
Yep.
When they're at uni, they need a module on neurodiverse conditions. They should have.
Yep.
And the fact that they don't blows my mind. Yeah. Like the fact that you can go all the way through a psychology degree, have a psychology degree, have a psychology master's and still know nothing about ADHD just blows my mind. You know, and the only way they find out this information is if they go to PDs and training. Yeah. But the problem is there's so many PDs and training that are run by professionals who don't have any lived experience.
Yes.
And because of that, their understanding is very surface level, which means, and it also means they can misinterpret and get things wrong. I've been to many, many PDs, and I've heard the person taking the PD come out with things like, I heard a psychologist running a PD say that autism was caused by parents after birth.
Oh. What?
This is coming from a qualified psychologist with no lived experience who just misinterpreted the information they were given, because when you don't have the lived experience, it's very easy to read something and it's like someone said to me, you can know something, but to understand it, you have to have it.
Yeah.
Because you can't unless you're in it in your life, you cannot necessarily understand exactly what something means or feels like, or, you know, and so even, you know, in these university courses and things like that, it's not just important that they run the modules, but they need to make sure that they're getting the correct information to run them from people who actually are experiencing it and know what it's like to live with.
You know. And I think, and you've mentioned that you're against all deficit-based, which we are too, but I think if we took the angle that, oh, we've got these awesome humans in our society that – some of them think like this and some of them have a little bit more energy and some of them can hyper-focus like you would not believe. How can we really help them to be the most awesome people that they are instead of like, oh, but they fidgeted on their chair during science? Oh, who cares? Like, so if we can just flip that mindset, I think that a lot of these other things would sort of fall into place.
Yeah. And these kids, and this is the thing that people need to realize, right? So kids with ADHD generally, and it is a spectrum, so it's always general, but generally are very empathetic.
Mm.
They can be very creative, very goal orientated, very competitive. So they can end up being entrepreneurs and stars and being incredibly driven.
Mm.
They're usually ambitious, motivated, kind. They have that ability to hyper focus. Mm. So if you give them an interest, something they can be passionate about, and then add in to that empathy that they have, and add into that the fact that they're ambitious and they can be very, very intuitive. Now you put all those things together and then support them, and you've got people who run countries and big companies and charities and do amazing things in the world. But unfortunately, a lot of our society doesn't see that. And because they don't see it, they focus so much on what they can't do and not what they can do that the kids and adults themselves end up focusing on what they can't do and not thinking about what they can do.
Tell us what your school's going to be like. What do you think? Tell us all your dreams.
So I will, much like the centre, it will be very, very, very strengths-based. Mm. It will focus on all kids and it will focus on, I guess, the ideal that all kids are different and all kids need to be promoted in their strengths, whatever those strengths are. Mm. It'll be very heavily focused on assisting challenges that are neat, regardless what they are, assisting kids with anything that they struggle with. Mm. Whilst absolutely building up their self-esteem. So one of the big things about the school will be about building up self-esteem and bringing down anxiety. Mm. Doesn't matter whether it's a neurotypical child, a neurodivergent child, or where in the middle they sit, it will be about helping them feel safe, calm, comfortable at all times whilst building up their self-esteem and always, always pushing the fact that they can achieve anything that they want to achieve. Mm. There'll be lots of other little things. I'd like lots of other little things, like always have on-site therapists they're needed. Be able to really strict policies running through all the teaching staff that how to deal with things like meltdowns and how to help kids if they're struggling with something and, you know, how to connect with children. Connection's so important. Oh, so for teachers to be able to connect with every single child so no child gets missed out. Mm. Things like kids with ADHD can have problems with their emotional dysregulation and helping teachers to be able to connect with those kids and understand how to not keep kids in that cycle that they can often get in, where they get angry and then they lash out and then they do something wrong. Then they get more angry because they just failed and they sit in this little cycle of failure. How to not let that happen and to keep them on the opposite, where they achieve and they do well and they feel good. And they, you know, it's the ins and outs of the school haven't quite been decided, but it will be based in that strength and happiness and building self-esteem and all that.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, is it a strict criteria? Will it only be children with a diagnosis of ADHD? Will there be children with intellectual disabilities? What will there be children with other disabilities? Like, my mind's just firing off a million questions.
So as far as I'm concerned, it will be an all-inclusive school. Mm. So anyone who wants to go there can go there, regardless of what their needs or challenges will be. And regardless of what challenges they have, their strengths will be the thing that is, you know, really sort of driven home, and they will be told how amazing they are regularly. So anyone, it'll be a truly inclusive school that anybody can go to.
Wow. Now, for me, with a lot of my friends whose children have ADHD, they also have maybe ASD, dyslexia, auditory processing delays. Like, it's not just a simple, you've got these four letters after your name, you know? Think, and speaking for myself, school is just so overwhelming then, because there's so many hurdles when it comes to standard education. So even if you're really well supported, you're not going to finish in a class what someone else has finished. It doesn't mean that your IQ is any less. It just means that we're so fixated on speed. This is my thing, that schools are just fixated on speed. How quickly can you answer the 20 questions? Not do you understand the 20 questions, how quickly can you write it down? And I know as an adult, like, I see, you know, my brother's a builder, and when I ask him a question, he will look at me and go, yeah, and then he'll pace around a bit. And then he'll come back and go, I think we could do it like this. And no one thinks anything of that. Like, no one thinks, oh, he's just processing while we're watching. But if a child does it at school, it's like a deficit. But actually, yeah. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is, how do we support those kids that have a lot of diagnosis? Ease.
Yeah. So, you know, that in terms of that processing speed, I'm a perfect example of that. So I have really slow processing speeds. It takes me a long time to process a situation. And the reason I can do all right for example, in an interview like this is because I've done so many of these.
Yeah, you practice.
I know what the answers are.
Yeah.
Like, my answers are pretty much in my sleep because I've done them so many times and I've spoke about it. But I remember the first time I ever did an interview and I had to actually process the questions and think about the answers. And it took me a very long time and it was a lot slower. Now, I have an IQ of 150, so that's really high in terms of IQ. But at school, if you'd have told my teachers that, they'd have gone, no, because I couldn't do anything and I couldn't do anything fast. Yeah. And one thing that's very important for everybody to be aware is having slow processing speeds does not mean low intelligence. No. They are two very different things. I have very slow processing speeds, but much higher intelligence. And Christina Keeble is exactly the same. So she's probably one of the smartest people I know, incredibly intelligent woman.
Yep.
But her processing speeds are even slower than mine. She takes a long time to really take something in, process it, and be able to spit out an answer. And so that rushing kids to all be on a certain time level is never going to work. But also something that's very important is when you've got children who have multiple diagnoses or multiple challenges, is accepting that with that might come struggle with regulating. It might mean they need their way of processing the world and their sensory input and things like that might be much different, and things might need to be adapted and another thing that schools do is they make it such an effort to make these reasonable adaptions that they have to make. It's such a big effort for them, and actually it's not, because if we just treat kids like individuals and go, right, this kid needs this, let's just change this across the board. Because, so for example, lighting is a big one. So these
fluorescent.
What are they called? Fluorescent. That's the word I was looking for. Fluorescent lighting can really trigger a lot of kids. Yeah. It triggers me. I find it's very, very difficult for kids to learn in. Now, changing the lighting to a non-fluorescent lighting isn't going to hurt anyone else. So why have fluorescent lighting? Because it's things like that. It doesn't hurt to make these changes across the board to help everybody because it's not going to hurt anyone else. So just accept that people have different, they process the world differently in different ways, and we can help them just by helping them without making a big song and dance over how much effort it is to help them.
If you went back into school after the holidays and the lights were a different colour, no one would even notice.
No. Well, we're not even allowed in there. So.
back in the day when we used to go to school.
There's plenty of time to change the lights is all I'm saying, Melbourne. Right?
Sydney, yes. Both of you, get in there and change the lights.
Can you tell us a little bit about PDA? A lot of people talk to us about can you talk about that on the podcast? And we thought you might be someone that we could chat to about that.
Yep.
And explain what that is.
Yeah, so PDA stands for pathological demand avoidance, and which isn't the greatest name. Much like ADHD, it's a very deficit-based name. So hopefully one day somebody will get on and change that. But it's also quite a stigmatizing name, again, much like ADHD. So at the moment, Christina and I are on a national tour, and we've been on this national tour since 2019 because, COVID. And we're sort of traveling around the country doing an ADHD and demand avoidance tour.
Awesome.
And so that's about, much like what we're trying to do with ADHD, it's about creating a bit of awareness. So PDA is much better understood in other parts of the world, but in Australia, we're very, very behind the times on PDA. Our understanding over here is really quite poor, and unfortunately the stigma with PDA is even greater than it is for ADHD. So a long way to go with that for sure.
Well, hopefully some of the people that are listening that are desperate can actually go into the show notes, find you and talk to you about it, because Mandy and I have that tricky situation where we are not professionals, so we can't come on here and go, this is what it is and this is what it means. And we know that for some people it's having a huge impact on their life. But I also know that there has to be really amazing ways to support it. But I just, because I don't think that I live with it, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah, and there is ways to support it. And what's interesting, so when we're on our tour, And actually, if anybody who hears this, we've got an online one coming up this weekend as well. But so I do the ADHD section and Christina does the PDA section. And one thing I always sort of realize when listening to her talk about that, because her knowledge on PDA is really, really good, really intense. And the one thing that always gets me is there is such a long way from that old-fashioned stereotypical view that kids who are demand avoidant are just, you know, being naughty. Yeah. It's so far away from that. It's such a long way away from that. And when we begin to understand that a child or adult's capacity in any given moment to be able to take demands or to take pressure or to take expectations, when we sort of can start to think that regardless of whether the child has PDA, ADHD, is autistic, whatever, we start to realize that it's just about learning what their capacity is in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And do they have the capacity to actually deal with what you're asking of them?
Yeah.
Or are you just asking, and just because you think it's okay for them to be able to deal with that demand, and, you know, I've given them a demand, they should just do it, doesn't mean that they have the capacity to be able to take that demand in that moment.
Wow.
And for a lot of these kids, they just don't.
Yeah.
You know, and you could be asking them something really simple, like, could you pass me that glass that's right next to you?
Yeah.
But if in that moment their anxiety is really, really high and for whatever reason they don't have the capacity to just process that demand in that moment, it's not as simple as just pass me that glass. To them, that's a much harder task. And so, you know, I think the thing with PDA is just creating that sort of awareness again through society that just because a child refuses a demand or finds it hard to do what's being demanded of them doesn't mean that it's not a behavior. It's not behavioral. It's about their capacity to be able to process those demands in that moment.
Wow.
And sometimes there's like times we spring it on them or we're rushing out the door and you need to put your shoes on or, you know, and then you realize that's my fault. I got up late. I, you know, there's all those things that trip us up all the time.
Absolutely. And you know, you might get so I hear a lot of those old behavioural sort of therapies and things like that, and practitioners will say consistency. Consistency is so important. No, it's not. Because the fact is, when has any human being ever been or felt consistent?
No, thank you.
I am not consistent. No. I've just told the world.
And you know what? You can be having a consistent morning and then an autumn leaf falls down. And there's no consistency in the morning. Yeah. And you're like, but we've done everything on time. Oh, but now there's been an autumn leaf.
That's exactly right. And I think with, you know, with our kids, we'll say, oh, be consistent. But I know even with my own kids, one day their capacity to take on those demands one day is not going to be the same as it is the next day when they've had a bad night's sleep or they've not had any food or they're thirsty or whatever, when all of a sudden they're, for whatever reason, their anxiety is a bit higher and I could have the same expectation of them as I did the day before, but they can't live up to it that day. So, you know, and demands are exactly the same. Whether they have PDA and they are, you know, or that sort of level of demand avoidant, or whether they're just a bit demand avoidant sometimes. Yeah. Not everybody has the capacity to take the same demands all the time. Oh. And for some kids, they just need a little bit of leeway and a little bit of understanding. And,
absolutely.
And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just a bit more acceptance, I think, is what's needed.
That's, you know what,
it's the just, line of the day.
It is the line of the day.
Who is consistent?
And it's just kindness when it comes down to it, right? And so, like, I don't know a lot, but I know that if I'm kind, then my kids are so much happier. And I know that sounds really simple, and I am no saint, right? But if I am, come on, there's no point. There's just no point. You just have to walk away and go, we're going to miss the bus, right? Today we're going to miss the bus.
Yep.
That's actually not the worst thing that happens is missing the bus.
No.
It's not the worst thing.
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
We will drive to school today. I will.
And so many, one of the things that I hear from parents a lot is they get so hung up on power battles.
Yeah.
They get so hung up on, I'm the boss, you're the child, I've told you to do it, just do it now. Yeah. And what they And what I say to parents a lot is, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to help your child to manage their regulation better, to manage those behaviors better? Are you trying to help them? Or are you trying to just prove who's boss? Because if you're trying to prove who's boss, you carry on.
Yeah.
But if you actually want to help them with their challenges and to help them to change certain behaviors, then you need to stop trying to prove who's boss and start trying to work with them and trying to understand what they're going through and what their actual struggles are.
I think this is the biggest thing for Gen X and Gen Y parents. We're trying to deconstruct from how we were parented.
Yep.
We're trying to work out, how do we parent without hitting, smacking, busting the wooden spoon, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Constant timeouts, all
that
stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. And we're working so hard to change all that.
Yep.
And our parents were trying to change from their parents from the 50s and 60s. And like, it's so full on, isn't it? Parenting is complex.
And that old school, old fashioned way of parenting, the fact is, you may be, if you're really, really disciplinarian with a kid, you may teach that kid, don't do a certain thing, and they may stop doing it. But you know what you won't have is a happy and well-regulated child. You'll end up with a traumatized child who just does everything they're told.
Yes.
And so something I always say to parents is, what do you want? Do you want a child who's happy and regulated and successful and doing well in themselves? Or do you want a child who's compliant?
Yeah.
Because you can't necessarily have both all the time. Like, you know, sometimes kids don't do as they're told because sometimes they need us to meet them in the middle somewhere, and they need us to actually, you know, to back down and just be with them and stuff.
And they are their own people. Like, I grew up in quite a religious home, and so there was this – I mean, my parents are very kind, but there's this big fear that if somehow you let this child out of control, whatever that means, they won't even get to heaven and everything's going to go wrong. So everything we did was based on this thing that was going to happen in 1,000 years. You know what I mean? And so now when I'm talking to my kids, I just feel this sense of freedom of, well, you be you. I'm me. And they actually – children aren't clones. So whether your children have ADHD or not or whatever, they're their own people.
That's
they're completely different to us. So they're going to come at life in a different way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all parents want to do the best by their children, but a lot of parents just parent the way they were parented.
Yes, it's
challenging. And it's about teaching parents that it's okay to do it differently. I know it was bred into us from day one that if your child acts out, you put them in their place.
Yep.
Like, that's the way we were raised. That's the
seen
way
and
we,
not heard
we've been taught.
All of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember having a couple of years ago, I had this parent who she got a bit upset with me for saying this, and she stood up and she said, but how do I teach my child that it's wrong to hit? If I can't, you know, come down on my child like a ton of bricks, how do I teach him he's wrong to hit? And I said, how old's your child? And she said, 11. And I said, at the age of 11, your child knows that he shouldn't hit.
Yeah.
He knows that. You can't teach him something he already knows, because I promise you he knows.
Yep.
What you need to do is help him manage, help him regulate, help him manage how he's feeling, to help him learn how to be able to not hit and to be able to turn to different forms of getting through his anger or his emotional dysregulation. And hopefully she took it on board. I'll never know.
Well, a lot of people do take it on board.
They might take their time.
Yeah, that's right.
But they'll process that when they're ready.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But hopefully for the child, sooner rather than later.
Oh, you're doing amazing work, Rebecca.
Yeah, I could talk to you all day.
Totally. But is there anything that we've missed that you would love to tell our community? What do you want them to know that we've missed today?
No, nothing really. Just, keep learning. I think that's, you know, that's the big thing, is we can never know enough. I learn every week I learn something new and go, that's really good information. If we just keep learning and always accepting that we don't know it all and we can always do better. We just got to keep learning, and then we can keep supporting our kids and our adults who struggle with whatever they struggle with. So,
So, Drew, thank you for giving us your time.
Yes.
It's super – I'm just super excited, you know. But the peas will love it, and we'll
watch out. You're going to get an influx.
You are. Sorry about that. But we'll put all your stuff in the show notes.
Yep, we will.
And then the peas can find you.
Come and find you. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me and for chatting to me today.
Thank you. Oh, Mandy, I absolutely love that.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm so thankful that she could come on. Yes. We've had so many cancellations and not from... Just from lockdown.
Oh, no, just, yeah, all them things we've had to shuffle and move. Yeah,
so and it's, we got there.
It was terrific to have her on.
Yeah, I'm super grateful.
Yeah, yeah, I hope you peas found some of that stuff helpful. I did too.
Yeah, I think everybody can relate to something and learn something new.
Yeah, and I think that line about consistency is just brilliant.
Yeah, it is brilliant.
I mean, I talk about that in my sleep work, and I'm gonna rethink how I talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to have consistency that's helpful, but to expect it to be the answer to everything.
Yes, it's not.
And you just never know when something's going to go wrong anyway.
Of course. The world was not consistent before the pandemic.
No, that's right. Now we're just consistently staying
home. So P's go and find her. She's got online seminars now. She had to pivot like everybody else.
Yes.
So go and find her and let's stalk her to get that school open.
Yes.
The Peak Centre sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
It sounds like... You know, just what we want.
Yep.
With our pea therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy.
Yeah. Therapies.
Forgot the name of my own centre that I'm not opening.
but
she's already doing it.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there's so much need for it. All right. Did anything make you cry this week, Mandy?
About 20 times a day watching the Paralympics.
Yeah.
I cry when they walk out. I cry when they wheel out. I cry when they go to the medal ceremony. I cry when they win. I cry when they're interviewed. I get like just... teary. I cry watching my girls staring at them, talking about that's a T37 and look at her arm and look at her hand and look at his leg. And it's so profound for my house.
Yes.
It's so profound. And the fact that we're home to watch it was Molly's dream come true.
Molly, that was a dream that's impacted on us all.
And as somebody pointed out to us earlier today, what an amazing time that a lot of Australia is home to watch it. What a golden era in Paralympics that we are home to watch it. And you might not be watching a lot of it, but people are talking about
it. Yeah, I've never heard it discussed so much.
That's right. Yep. And welcome everyone because it's the athletes love each other.
Yeah.
They're kind to each other.
Oh, it's how the world should be.
It's just so beautiful.
Yep, yep. It really is so.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, now I sound like a very shallow person because I got new pillowcases and I just put them on my bed and I cried.
Did you?
I just thought, I really love those pillowcases. I don't know why it made me cry. I just think it was something beautiful, right? And you know I love beautiful things and I can't work and I can't do any of the things that I normally do. I was like, oh. Anyway,
fair enough.
They've got flowers on them.
I actually did cry too listening in on Miss Ten's Zoom. I haven't been doing it, but I just heard a little girl say, but I just don't know how to do that maths.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. Like in the flattest, most depressed voice you've ever heard.
Mm.
And then the teacher said, well, I can't make you. That's true.
Yeah.
But I'd really love you to have a go. And I just thought, those poor teachers. And the teachers having to listen to depressed children.
Oh, I know.
It's too much.
It's too much. I emailed one of the boys' teachers today and I said, and how are you going?
Yes. I think we should all be doing
that. And he said, I just want it to be over.
Yes.
Like he's like, how do you pep up the kids?
You can't.
You can't.
10-year-olds are naturally peppy.
Yes, annoyingly so.
They are annoying. They're right in your face, peppy pepsters.
I know.
And they are not.
No.
It's devastating.
I'll tell you something funny. On one of our... Instagram stories, I said a snap pea was coming out. So I said, I hope this puts a bit of pep in your step. But Instagram, when it automatically does the captions it wrote, I hope this makes pep a step. And then pea friend Jenny from Perth was like, is pep a step a thing you say over East?
Yo, man, pep a step.
Pep a step. It's like the Melbourne Shuffle. It's like a dance thing. Anyway.
How cute.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, make a difference.
All right. Let me just...
I'll tell mine. Yep. It just started today.
Yep.
I turned on Netflix and I saw a new show and it's called Motel Makeover.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I want to go home right now and keep watching it.
Oh, it's good. So I love good. A makeover show.
I know, but a motel,
it's like a Schitt's Creek motel.
And yes, it's like a Schitt's Creek. She said, okay. I feel like I'm in an episode of Schitt's Creek.
Oh, okay.
They're Canadians. And they put all their savings and they remodeled a motel and it's called the Dune Motel. It's in, I don't know if it's in Canada or the second one they're doing is on the border of Canada and America, on one of the lakes, one of the big lakes, right? Anyway, I just, I'm so, it's so great.
Look, we all need.
They're friends. They're in their mid-30s. They're entrepreneurs.
Awesome.
They're down to earth.
Oh, I like it
and
already.
They are just, they make it look, Kate, you're going to love it.
I can't wait.
It's so beautiful. They say we have to junify everything to make everything look, so the colours are pinks and plants and they're going to vintage shops to get, I just wish I could go there.
I can't wait.
Okay, so yep. Motel Makeover, if you want some feel good. I'm only up to episode 3 and they're starting to talk about the virus in China. So it must have started and then they're going to get interrupted.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yep, COVID interrupters.
Motel Makeover. I've never wanted to go to Sorbal Beach, wherever that is, more in my whole life. And the thing is, they're there in winter, so there's snow and the snow goes right up to the lake.
Yes.
So I've never seen, because I don't go to the snow, but snow to the water.
Yeah, right to
like,
the water.
Wow.
Yep.
That looks amazing.
At Falls Creek, there's a lake at the top and it freezes.
Oh.
And it's beautiful.
Well, this is like.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it's not, but the pool was frozen over.
Yeah.
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. You might not like it, but.
No, it's your make a difference.
It is. It made a difference to me today. I was like, I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. Well, I've got two. The first one is I've started listening to this podcast and I'm going to get the name wrong, but it's Chickstory.
Yes.
So it's Chicks in History.
Yeah, awesome.
And it's. I've forgotten one of the girls' names, but it's Evie from Gogglebox and one of her beautiful friends. This sounds terrible that I can't remember her name. Anyway, and they just talk about women in history that have been forgotten or have never been acknowledged. And sometimes they have guests on and the guest will say, I want to tell you the story about blah, blah, right?
Nuh-uh.
And so sometimes they tell the stories. It's just easy listening. You put it on, you know, doing the dishes or whatever.
Annie. Evie and Annie.
Annie, yep. And I really like it. Anyway,
great.
Amanda and I are sort of friends with Evie.
Yeah.
And
she's now.
Just
it's exciting.
She's just a lovely person.
Lovely
she's really, really
and fun.
And really kind.
Yeah.
So I thought if the peas could do me a favor, you could all just go and listen to one episode and give her a jump in her downloads.
Yeah, good.
And make
on
her
you,
day. Because she's stuck in lockdown as well.
That's right.
She's a single person.
That's right.
She's got her beautiful dogs
yep.
if you follow her on Instagram. She puts funny stories about them farting.
Yeah, hilarious.
She's funny. She's very funny. So
she's funny.
Anyway. It's good. And the other make a difference was that Lee and Annabelle mentioned our book on Chat 10 Look 3. So,
they sure did.
Yeah, and that was just really lovely. So I'd really like to know if anyone bought the book because they mentioned it, but I don't suppose we can find out.
A lot of people
find out
a lot of people message us and we're excited
yes,
to hear
you.
It. So thank you for
your
that.
Your chatterpies are beautiful.
Yeah, really beautiful.
All right, what made you laugh?
Okay, this made me laugh. I'm just trying to find it because it's a message of text. So
okay.
My beautiful friend Karen, she just sent me a text yesterday and said, so I'm on a semester break. Want to organise a walk and a talk and a catch up along the track.
Yep.
And I said, yes, I sure do. I said, I could do this Saturday, I could do Tuesday, da 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 da. She said, okay, let's lock in that date. And I said, it's in the diary. And she said, yay. And then I said, are your ears ready is the question. And she said, they are empty and ready. And I said, that's what they all say. And then boom, 10 minutes in, no one wants to listen to Mandy anymore. So she wrote, ha, ha, ha. And then because she walks with sticks, but she's an amputee. She said, I can always feign sore wrists and call it a day. And I just went very loud laughing. I just made me laugh and I thought I'm so lucky to have funny friends, like really funny friends.
Yeah, that's the only thing getting me
you know,
through.
It is the only
Literally
thing.
The only thing.
I just thought we, both of us, we're hilarious.
I know.
Imagine our walk. But I also know she's sort of introspective and so I know I can overwhelm people because when
yes,
you
I
hang
know.
Out with me, you might be like, oh, calm down, Mandy.
Me too.
I'm just like, boom,
hi. I'm going to tell you all this.
You know, so I know that I overwhelm people
yep.
because they sort of back away from me. And it's good to be self-aware, but then
it
sometimes
is.
It makes you feel like, oh, I know I'm too much.
I know.
You know?
But you're not. I'm fine with it.
I know.
But I do know. No, I know.
You know, people get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you know how it goes. If she feigns a sore wrist, we'll see how long the walk goes for. But I'm really looking forward to it because there's nothing to look forward
nothing,
to.
Nothing. Nothing to look forward to. One of my friends was like, we could accidentally both be at the supermarket
yeah.
at the same time. I'm like, this
I've
is how
it so many
because
times.
You know what? We don't break the rules.
No, we don't.
That's what I want to say about Melbourne.
Yes.
I love you, Melbourne.
I know.
I don't know any other states. I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking about Melbourne. And you know, we're trying so hard.
We didn't break the rules last year.
No.
We're not breaking the rules
last
this year.
Last year, we were just unbelievable. I don't think the rest of Australia can ever.
I think Sydney knows now.
And you don't have to know. I'm not saying that in a bad way, right? Because, like, no, I don't know things until I go through them.
I just have to say this. I've had a few people say to me that their workplaces that are based in Sydney are now being nice to them.
Wow.
And last year they weren't. So they're saying, have a mental health day.
Yes.
Let's pause a bit on the work, take a little bit more gently. But I'm telling you, it makes me want to cry. People close to me were hammered last year because people in Sydney in big management businesses did not understand. No.
And I want to say a shout out to Jordan and the people at Acast.
Yes.
Because they are in Sydney.
Yeah.
And they were kind, constantly. Even when Jordan sends us an email, I know you guys are overwhelmed with homeschooling, so what day works for you and what time? Always puts us first.
Yes, thank you,
That's
Acast.
Unusual.
Yes.
Because we are little tiny pebbles in their ocean of huge rock podcasts.
We really are.
So, yeah, that's amazing, Mandy. I'd never thought about
that. Well, it's only since I then have heard it and observed it, and I thought I'm just going to gently call it out and say if you are in big business or you know someone in big business.
Or if you're interstate and you haven't done all those lockdowns.
Just acknowledge that we've already done all this.
Yeah. And I do have a friend in Brisbane and I was talking to her and because she put something up on her social media about going to this really cute cafe that looked like it was like from America somewhere. It was really cute on the Gold Coast. And I said, oh, enjoy being out. And she said, like, because she's got kids in Melbourne and Sydney. And she said, I can't. She said, I just want to go and see them. And she said, we're just waiting for them to say, oh, well, you're shut down. You're shut down for a week. Your business is shut down.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know the whole of Australia is living in this really weird reality.
Yeah.
And I know that we're Melbourne centric. I get that. And I get that we can't see what other people are going through. So I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But I also acknowledge that Melbourne is fucking awesome. They are. Like I look around me people.
All those children, all those babies, all those teenagers doing the right thing.
Not meeting friends in parks. Yes. Not meeting.
It's
huge. Mandy and I chatted to some people in Sydney today for a different podcast and one of them said, I take my 10-year-old with another friend that lives around the corner and they make all these imagination games. And I was thinking, it is awesome. It's an awesome thing about the pandemic. Melbourne has gone through months and months of not being able to have children see anyone else in their street even.
That's
so
right.
I just think, wow, we're doing it tough. I'm just going to acknowledge we've really gone off banter here, but we're all a bit broken.
We are a bit broken.
Anyway, what made you laugh?
No, I've said my laugh. What made you laugh?
Okay, so what made me laugh is actually happened to us today when Mandy and I were doing this podcast. So I'm in my bedroom, obviously, and my bedroom looks out onto
the front deck.
Yeah, Mandy's in the car living the dream because we have to escape the children. And, of course, the children are all home, so Buzz realised that I was on a Zoom and I had the curtains right back to let the light in because we had to have cameras on. And so he just moonwalked back and forth in front of the window, putting his hand up like a shh with his – and just – I had to tell him in the end.
I'm so sorry, but one of my kids is moonwalking. I burst out laughing. And this is the problem for Kate and I when we're on another podcast is we just take over.
We do take over.
And have you noticed?
Yes. Because we think we're on our podcast.
Yeah, I just think, okay. Anyway. Or once, a couple of weeks ago, I said, Kate, I'm laughing. I said, she makes me laugh every day. And I thought, hang on a minute. This is their podcast.
You did say that. It was very funny.
Mandy. Who do we think we are?
I don't know, but we're easy to talk to.
Well, we are.
So that's a gift because you and I know sometimes it's not easy to talk to people.
No, that's so right. Yeah,
we can do it.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yep. Anyway, if you want our book, you can go onto our website or onto the merch store. They're both signed. If you go onto our website, we'll write your name. If you go onto the merch store, they've got them up there in Sydney. They're ready to post them out. They're probably better at posting than Mandy and I. It would make a big difference. As we've mentioned in the last couple of podcasts, it's really hard for us to get the book out there because two of the biggest, or three, and Canberra as well, ACT, are all in lockdown. Mm. So no one can go shopping. Mm. So, and thank you to the peas in Adelaide, Northern Territory, Western Australia,
Tassie.
Yeah, Queensland, who've sent us photos of the book.
Yes, thank you.
I can't wait to go and see it in the shops. I can't wait.
I did a click and collect. It came out yesterday. I just quickly walked past the Dimmicks window and she wasn't there.
Yeah, we're like, come on.
I was like, right up the bat. I wanted to go to the lady and say, can you just go and get it and just bring it to me? And I thought, just calm down. Go home.
Go back home, masked woman.
I had my 15 containers because we're sorting Lego. That's made a difference too.
Yeah.
We've just got a huge tub of Lego. We're sorting it in colours. Amy, Molly, we just sat there.
It will look beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to look beautiful.
Yeah.
So we decided that every lockdown there has to be a task. It's taken us about a month to work out what the task will be. And now we've got it. Anyway, let's go.
Anyway, all right, rate and review,
please. See you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.